Welcome to the Guaranteed Foods postgame show with Josh Fournier.
It's a home run into the bullpen in right center field. A three-run opposite field. Bobby Witt Jr. home run.
Guaranteed Foods has been helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can too. Call 913-888-5000 or start eating right at GuaranteedFoods.com.
Carter hits a drive to center field and deep. Back goes Tavares on the run. It is gone.
This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Josh Fournier.
Yeah, all right. Good afternoon. Before I get into this game, maybe I shouldn't do this since I wasn't born and raised in Kansas City. I feel like I've been here long enough that I can speak for a certain faction of the fan base. Honestly, there's a part of me that feels like I can speak for the fan base as a whole, but I'm going to check myself. I think I can speak for a faction of the fan base. When I say Cubs fans, we don't think about you. We don't care about you. I got all these goofballs walking by my booth out here at Kauffman Stadium, you know, popping the name on the front of their chest, you know, taking off their Cubs hat and pointing at it and yelling at me. Okay, good. Yeah, great. I know a lot of teams obsess about you. St. Louis, Milwaukee, the other team that shares a city with you. Yeah, maybe they're all obsessed with the Cubbies, but we don't care about you. We don't think about you. We'll maybe make a trip up to Wrigley once in our life, but you know, stop, save it. Best of luck. Good job. You won the series, but you know, we'll see you in a couple years. Maybe I'm wrong on that. And again, I was the guy that just sat here yesterday and said that Cubs fans to me are, in my opinion, the most easy to tolerate of all the fan bases that ultimately come to Kansas City and take over the stadium. I mean, yeah, give me a Cubs fan over a Cardinals fan, over a Yankees fan, over a Red Sox fan, any day of the week. Cubs fans or Twins fans? You know, that's the question. Twins fans travel well. Now, maybe that's a good question to discuss, because obviously what happened in the game today, not much really to dive into. Which fan base do you find the most agreeable, the easiest to get along with out here at the K? 913-586-7965. As far as the game is concerned, Royals lose. They drop the rubber game. They drop the series to the Cubs. They fall by a final score of 10-2. Oof. An 8-run margin means that the Royals now have the second worst run differential in Major League Baseball. Only the A's have a worse mark. Now, it's not all bad, ladies and gentlemen. It's never all bad when it comes to baseball. There's always good in every game, just like there's always bad in every game. And we'll get to the bad, but let me first acknowledge the good. Michael Massey, today's Guaranteed Foods player of the game. Start eating right at GuaranteedFoods.com. Massey today, 2-for-4. A 2-out triple in the 4th inning, a 1-out single in the 7th, and he was 5 feet away from a solo bomb in the 9th inning. Not only did Michael Massey continue to put up quality ABs, and if you look at what Michael Massey has done since Jonathan India went down, since Michael Massey took over as this team's everyday second baseman, it's been about 4 months now, all right? 4 months of baseball, Michael Massey's batting .270 with an OPS near .750. Not only did Massey get it done offensively, but defensively, boy, did he put on a show. That 4th inning, I understand the Cubs scored a run and increased their lead to 4-0. But this game would have been completely over in the fourth. Instead of a four-run deficit, it could have been six or seven, if not for the gold glove ability of Michael Massey over there at second base. So just wanted to make sure that I made mention that Michael Massey played a terrific game this afternoon. Now, if you want to discuss the game, I'm more than happy to dive into it. To me, it's a pretty simple summary. Matthew Boyd, an all-star left-hander. Matthew Boyd and that Chicago offense, a collection of bats that's been one of the five best in baseball all season. Matthew Boyd and the Chicago Cubs offense is far superior to Randy Dobnak and the Kansas City offense that does not feature Vinny Pasquantino, Michael Garcia, nor Carter Jensen. So, what you thought was going to happen on paper basically happened. Now, what I didn't expect was the defense to let Randy Dobnak down the way that it did in the first inning. A fly ball to left field, it's got to be caught. Kyle Isbell had it. Starling Marte out there in left field, obviously doesn't have a ton of reps with Izzy this season, but Starling Marte's been around the game for a decade and a half. The ball must be caught. Bottom line, the same thing my seventh grade football coach used to yell at all of us. The ball must be caught. And as the quarterback, I loved when he would say that. Woof. But no, ball must be caught. Marte, Izzy, allow that ball to fall for a one-out double. Nick Lofton can't make a play. Tyler Tolbert has a very difficult play that he's unable to make. And just like that, the bases are loaded with only one out. Should have been a scoreless first for Dobnak, but his defense lets him down, and he finds himself in that early 1-0 hole. So, didn't expect that from the defense. I certainly expected the bullpen to betray Randy Dobnak. That's nothing new. Bullpen today issues 2 walks, 8 hits, and 6 runs as the Royals again lose by a final score of 10-2. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. I'll take your thoughts on the game. Now, if you just want to share your experience out at the ballpark today, who you were with, the memories that you made, the fights that you got into with Cubs fans, I'm more than happy to drink it in, to digest your afternoon at Kauffman Stadium. We could talk about this season as a whole, look ahead to 2027, or look ahead to my one-on-one exclusive conversation with Royals owner and CEO John Sherman. It'll be heard in its entirety coming up Monday morning, 7:20, with Fesco and Dusty right here on 96.5 The Fan. What do you want to hear from the head man? What do you want to hear from Royals owner John Sherman? Let me know. Text lines open for you. Phone lines are open for you. Royals lose 10-2. They're now 21 games below 500. We'll address it all with John Sherman. Again, you'll hear that interview Monday morning, 7:20 a.m. with Fesco and Dusty right here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
Welcome back to the Guaranteed Foods Postgame Show. Start eating right at GuaranteedFoods.com. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Here's the pitch. Massey loops it, shallow right field. Conforto sprints in, dives and misses. It rolls past him toward the warning track. Massey rounds first and sprints to second. Not stopping there, he's headed for third. Pearl Armstrong backs up, relays it in. Massey's at third safely.
You thought something was about to pop off there. That's right after Starling Marte hits a two-run, two-out home run in the fourth inning. Royals are only down 4-2. Massey then, as you heard Jake Eisenberg on the call, bangs a triple that gets by the right fielder. So you have a man on third with 2 outs, but Tyler Tolbert can't make anything of it. And Massey is stranded 90 feet away, and well, that 4-2 score in the fourth is as close as this game would be afterward, as Royals get crushed 10-2, the final score. But Michael Massey, author of that two-out triple and a one-out single in the seventh inning, Michael Massey's our Guaranteed Foods player of the game. And how about these splits from Massey this season? I understand he's not facing a ton of left-handers or hasn't faced a lot of left-handers. But he still has, what, 64 at-bats against lefties? He's hitting .313 against lefties. Massey batting .249 against right-handers. How about that? 913-586-7965. My game notes are presented by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. All right, let's head out to Shawnee. Talk with Jared. Jared, you're on the Guaranteed Foods postgame show as the Royals fall 10-2. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, it's Jerry, but that's fine.
I apologize, Jerry. Go ahead.
No, no problem. I've been a 30-year season ticket holder. Vern, I've got a real problem with where this front office is headed this season in terms of, I see where we just signed Kimbrel. Uh-huh. What are we doing?
Just trying to get through the season. That's all that
well,
is.
Well, I understand that, but this should be the last month and a half should be an opportunity to evaluate some people like Duran and Hoffman. And
sure.
I don't see hanging on to Maley and Marte with Squires and Cross and Lugo not getting an opportunity. It's just, I'm very frustrated.
Matthew Lugo, I don't think. Matthew Lugo's past age 32. You know, he's no.
No, I'm talking about Lugo, the outfielder at Omaha, 25-year-old outfielder.
Oh, okay.
And Squires, the 26-year-old, has got 24 home runs this year.
Sure.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Squires? Hey, hang on. Well, let's talk it through, Jared. Okay, so you want Brent Squires to come up and get some left field action up here in the big leagues?
Either that or first base. He's a first baseman. Let Kags play right field.
Yeah, you could. Vinny might be back in a week, though.
Well, I'm just saying it's having guys that have no future when we need to evaluate some young guys makes no sense to me.
Well, yeah, I understand your point, but the two guys that you cited as far as the clubhouse or the position players, Starling Marte, Luke Maley, you need to keep one of those guys, in my opinion. Those are guys that bring a leadership, a vocal leadership that this clubhouse sorely lacked last year and to start this season throughout spring training, really until Marte showed up. And obviously the guys were gone at the World Baseball Classic when he showed up, so they never really had that veteran voice, that guy that the young players can confide in, but it's like talking to a coach, but it's not a coach, right? It's a player that's in the fight with you. So I need Marte or Maley to stick around. But yeah, if you want to DFA one of them and call up the Matthew Lugo or Brent Squires or Gavin Cross, yeah, go right ahead. I'm not going to fight you.
I would just like to see him give some evaluation at the major league level.
Certainly. And then as far as the Craig Kimbrel signing, I'll get to that coming up in a moment. But the options that you mentioned, you're 100% right. The kid that they got from the Dodgers, the kid that they got from the Phillies, they'll be here soon, very soon. So
I just don't see
I don't
what
think
Kimbrel
you need to worry
brings.
About that.
I don't see what he brings to the table. I mean, I just don't. He's been on about his fifth team this year.
Yeah,
already
he hasn't been good in 3 years. Yep, I agree.
Okay, just wanted to get your thoughts because I don't
For
see
sure.
the direction.
Yeah. Jared, the direction is a focus on 2027.
I get it.
Yeah, no, I understand. Jared, thanks for the phone call. Again, I bring this up with owner, CEO John Sherman. You'll hear that interview tomorrow morning, 7:20 on Fesco and Dusty. And he even says, I've told JJ the focus is now 2027, and that's, you got to go find bullpen pieces for the 2027 season. And no, Jared, I agree. No, Craig Kimbrell is not a part of the 2027 Royals bullpen. But I don't believe that anybody that's in that bullpen right now, Steven Cruz, you're unlikely to get rid of Lucas Urseg. You're going to continue to give him opportunities because why not? We know he has that swing and miss stuff, so you're going to continue to work with him, try to get to the offseason, give him some confidence, and maybe 27 turns out differently for Urseg. Because again, anybody that has swing and miss stuff, electric stuff, even if we haven't seen it in a while, in this organization, without Lewinder Avila, without Cole Reagans moving forward, without Chris Bubich, no, you need to hang on to guys that have anything that looks similar to swing and miss stuff. So Urseg, Steven Cruz, maybe Daniel Lynch makes his way back to the bullpen by 2027. But other than that, you don't have anybody. Not just in the big leagues, but also down in AAA. So the big righty that they got from the Dodgers in the Bubich trade, he'll be here. The righty that they received in the Lane Thomas trade, he'll be here too. I mean, all these guys need to be either added to the 40-man roster by the Rule 5 draft or are already on the 40-man roster and will be here before the season ends. But yeah, I mean, to your point, they're giving guys like Easton McGee the opportunity to see if he can be a part of the 2027 bullpen. And he gave up 6 runs in 2 innings today, so not your best of showings. Nate Pearson, a guy we saw last night, close out the game, pick up the save. He's not 30, he's what, 28, 27, 28 years old? That's a guy that could be a part of the rotation next year, so you give him an opportunity, see what he has. Now Mason Black is here. What can he do? Let's give him an opportunity. But do I think that they are directionless by bringing in Craig Kimbrell instead of calling up one of these young men down in Omaha? No. I mean, 43 games to play. We'll see. We'll see what the 9-time All-Star Craig Kimbrell brings to the clubhouse, what he brings to the bullpen. Honestly, I'm not all that interested in what he brings to the field because you're 21 games below 500. You're on pace to lose 95. He's not saving anything. He's not going to turn anything around for this team. All he's going to do is help eat up innings and get this season over with. That's what it's about. But I think it's a fair point, a fair complaint. Personally, though, there aren't many guys down in Omaha right now that I'm excited to see. Even those relievers that you mentioned, Hoffman, Duran, the kid from the Dodgers. I hope they turn into something, but it's not as if anybody, in my opinion, is banging down the door. I know what Brent Squires is doing down there. And do I think he's a big league corner outfielder? No. He's a first baseman, and that, in my opinion, is the last thing this team needs. Matthew Lugo? Yeah, sure. You could give him an opportunity. The Berry kid that they got from the Marlins, the former top 10 pick, Jacob Berry. I mean, they have bodies down there in Omaha, but would you prefer them play sporadically, but to get that big league experience, or play consistently, get those everyday at-bats, and maybe take some real confidence into the offseason? I can see both sides. But way to get us started. Way to bring a good conversation to the post-game show. I appreciate it. Jerry. Jerry was his name. And again, further clarity, John Heyman, the first to report, but Annie Rogers, the great beat writer from MLB.com, the best covering the Royals, she reports that Craig Kimbrell is expected to join the team tomorrow. So to offer a little bit more clarity on Craig Kimbrell, clarity provided by UMB Private Wealth, just like they provide clarity around your financial future, Kimbrell will join the Royals with 440 career saves. That's fifth most in Major League Baseball history. But as I mentioned, dude really hasn't been worth a darn since his last All-Star season, which came in 2023 as a member of the Philadelphia Phillies. Yeah, he's a nine-time All-Star, but his first came in 2011. His seventh came in 2018. So in the past eight seasons, he's made a grand total of two All-Star games. And again, hasn't really put forth a positive wins above replacement since that 2023 campaign when he was a 35-year-old man. Now, he turns, he's a 38-year-old, turned 38 just a couple of months ago. Again, that clarity provided by UMB Private Wealth. Do you have a financial plan? Do you know if you're going to have enough to retire? Well, get with the team at UMB Private Wealth Management. Go to umb.com/private wealth to schedule an appointment today. Advisory services offered by investment advisor representatives through UMB Private Wealth Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Phone lines are open for you if you want to get in on what Jerry had to say. If you're like-minded, if you think the direction of this organization should be called into question because of a Craig Kimbrell signing, because Luke Maley and Starling Marte continue to play out these final 2 months of the season, let me know. Phone lines are open for you. Again, the Golden Oak Lending phone line, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Jeff in Joplin. Jeff was in the building, one of the more than 24,000 to take this one in today. Jeff, how are you?
Man, I'm doing good, Byrne. You know, I drove up from Joplin today, and even on a day like this, man, I still love baseball. I brought my nephew with me, and we sat in the stands, and, you know, I talked to him about what a great player Salvador Perez is, and then we saw him get a hit. You know, who knows how many more times we're going to have that opportunity. And then we talked about Jack Caglione and what a great player he looks like he's going to be. And then we watched him hustle down the line in the eighth inning and narrowly avoid the tag. And then when they called him out, he stayed standing out there like a boss because he knew he was safe. And he was. And so it's still a beautiful thing. And, man, you know, it's funny you brought up Kimbrell because I was thinking and I was telling him there's likely three Hall of Famers on the field today. I guess when Kimbrell comes in, if nothing else, he's going to be a cool trivia question in a few years, along with Orlando Cepeda and Harmon Killebrew and Gaylord Perry and all the other Hall of Famers that have played with the Royals briefly. So I got no problem with it. It's not going to bother me. So I hope you have a great day, Vern. Thank you for what you do.
Yeah, you too, Jeff. And Jeff, if you ever want free tickets to a Royals game, I'm guessing all you have to do is listen to my pregame show because the way you just rattled off Gaylord Perry and Harmon Killebrew and the Hall of Famer Orlando Cepeda that ended their careers in Kansas City, you obviously know your trivia. And we give away Royals tickets 1 hour before first pitch every single game day here on 96.5 The Fan. I appreciate the phone call. Speaking of the On Deck Show, late ones coming up for the next three nights. 9:10 for the first pitch the next three nights at Dodger Stadium. So my On Deck Show begins at 8 o'clock at night. I don't know how many people are going to be listening to a pre-game show for a team that's 21 games below 500. So if you want some tickets and you know your Royals trivia, man, you're going to have a real good chance at winning those bad boys. So be listening 1 hour before first pitch every game day, but especially during this upcoming West Coast road trip. A road trip, mind you, that begins with the Royals facing two-time defending Cy Young Award winner Tarek Skubal in his home debut in Dodger Blue. And then on Tuesday night, they take on another two-time Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell as he returns from the injured list. Again, that game starts up tomorrow night, 9:10, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Let's go to Jason in Kansas City. He, too, was in the building to watch the Royals get beat around 10-2, the final score. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, Vern. How you doing there, bud?
Great. How are you?
We're good. Hey, I tell you what, you're the bright spot for the Royals. I'm going to tell you that right now. We love to listen to you.
Thanks.
Here's my thing. I was there last night. I was there today. And last night, they had a great product on the field. It looked incredible. Like, the infield was great. The outfield was great. The batters were great. But today, you put Tolbert at shortstop and Jensen, like, Jensen's not playing. He's 23 years old. How come he can't start a catcher? I just don't get it. Jack hits way better when he's at first base. I just don't understand. Nobody's talking about coach. Nobody's talking about his decisions, his decision making, his pitching, pulling pitchers, when to put him out there. I just very, very.
Well, do you have an example today? Because the pitching, I mean, you understand the pitchers just aren't very good. I don't care if you have Ned Yost or Whitey Herzog out there, they're not getting much more out of this pitching staff.
Okay, how come Witt's DH'ing? Like what is that?
Remember, he had back spasms, had him on the IL for 10 days. If you were watching, you said you were here for the game. Remember him diving all over the field, that shortstop trying to steal?
Awesome game Saturday.
Yeah, you're 21 games below 500. I want to make sure that we're prioritizing Bobby's health. And the way that he was throwing his body around, he's played in every game since returning from the IL on Tuesday. So I think it was precaution trying to take care of the most important person in this organization.
What about Jensen? How come Jensen?
Carter Jensen, yeah. He caught Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. Pretty warm out there today. Yeah, I understand he's 23s. He catches, I would say, 6 out of every 7 games. He is a human being, so they give him one day off a week.
I get it. It's just very frustrating. Salvi at first. Salvi's a great guy. He's awesome. DH Salvi the rest of the season. Put Jack at first. It's very frustrating, Dern.
But, hey,
I appreciate you, and you are awesome. We listen to you every time after the games, but appreciate you.
That means a lot. Yeah, appreciate you, Jason. Thanks for saying that, man. Jack Caglione, by the way, has a knock in every game here in August, batting .406 across his current 8-game hitting streak. Royals lose 10-2. Let's hear what our Guaranteed Foods player of the game, Michael Massey, had to say after this one to Royals TV.
What did you make of Boyd today and what he was able to do against you guys?
Yeah, he was really good. From the first inning on, he had good deception, pounded the zone. Fastball had some jump to it, and then obviously for the righties, he's got the changeup. Lefties, he did a good job with the slider and the curveball on top of the fastball.
Is it kind of what you guys expected him to do in terms of just like the plan going in?
Yeah, I don't think we were caught off guard. I think he executed well, and obviously when a guy like that executes well, it's going to be a tough day.
What do you guys take with you from this homestand? Say there were some bright spots and probably disappointing to end this one with a loss.
Yeah, I think. Like you said, I mean, we had some games where we played well, some moments where we played well, and obviously some that we didn't. So it's kind of been the way it's been all year. So just got to continue to work and try to clean those things up. And it's not going to get any easier going out to LA. So we gotta we gotta clean it up and be ready to go tomorrow night.
You guys have a starter like Randy on the mound. As a defense, you got to be ready for a lot of those ground balls. And how tough is it when some of those start to sneak through?
Yeah, he does. He does a great job. I thought he did a great job again. Obviously, some softer hits there in the first inning. Just found holes. And, like you said, when he's on the mound, he does a good job of creating ground balls and keeping the defense in it. So, like you said, they just snuck through. And, it's going to happen from time to time.
Yeah, Massey had a solid night, a solid homestand offensively, kind of up and down for his standard, up and down defensively. But boy, oh boy, that fourth inning, did he ever put on a show. Tyrone Taylor laying down a sack bunt. Third baseman Nick Lofton charges Fields and makes a poor throw to Massey at second to get the lead runner. But Massey makes a great pick to help both Nick Lofton and Randy Dobnak. And then Pete Crow Armstrong hits one hard to the right side to the hole. But Massey ranges to his left, slides, gloves, gets to his feet, spins, and makes a strong throw to Tyler Tolbert at the bag. And then with two on and two outs, Ian Happ. Massey makes another outstanding sliding play for the third and final out. So Massey's defense responsible for all three of Randy Dobnak's outs there in the fourth inning. And again, that's why Mass is our Guaranteed Foods player of the game. Let's go to Big T in Shawnee. Big T, you're on the Guaranteed Foods postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. How you been doing, young cat?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Hey, man, I'm hanging in there. I've been engaged, listening, haven't been calling much, but I've just been following the team. And, you know, we're playing out the season, Vern. You know, these callers are driving me nuts. We're playing out the year. You know, these guys, hey let's make a run and lose that top six pick, everybody. You know, that's what they want, I guess. But, Vern, to answer your question, the easiest fans I've always got along with was Minnesota. The punk-ass Cubbies fans, you know, half of them are probably driving back to Leawood and Olathe, and the other half are going back to that stench town of Chicago. You know, and the reason it's stench because their hot dog sucks. Their watered-down $15 beers suck. Their sissy beers, because that's what sissy Cubby fans drink, and they eat them crappy hot dogs. And Vern, you know what? One thing about a Cubs fan, they're 3-11 in World Series. What a bunch of piss ants. 3-11. And the last one came in 2016, and most of those World Series, your mommy and your daddies and your pappies and your grandma weren't even born, Cubby fans. So get off your high horse. How about try to chase down Milwaukee, you punk asses? You can't even do that because Milwaukee's going to rule your asses and flog you. So when you go to the playoffs, you're not even going to even touch the World Series. So get off your high horse. You're a bunch of piss ants, and have fun driving back to Chicago because you should beat us two out of three. That's what you should expect from a Cubbies fan. And you know what? I'll leave it with this, Vern. The Royals, in their history, have gone to four World Series. We're 2-2. At least we're batting .500, baby. And, Vern, that game last night by Jack Caglione, that was very impressive. Thanks for taking my call, Vern.
Yeah, always nice hearing from you, Big T. Big T does not speak for me nor this show. I love Chicago dogs. I don't know if I've ever had a bad time in Chicago. I'd love it. Summertime shy, right? Isn't that what Kanye said? I mean, it's the best. I mean, Bears fans, you know, can hit the bricks. Yeah. Hey, go for it, Big T. I can't believe you were that passionate about it. I mean, other than Brewers fans and Cardinals fans, I didn't expect that type of vitriol to come for the Northsiders, but I like it. I like it. Even though, man, you know, we're fighting on low ground right now. You know, they can just start taking shots at us. Oh, you guys signed Craig Kimbrel? I mean, imagine. Yeah. I mean, if you're a Cubs fan and you just, you know, you're listening to this postgame show, first of all, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, we Royals signed Craig Kimbrel, and can you really talk trash to the Cubs fans? They're like, yeah, we had Kimbrel too, back when he was good a half decade ago. Yeah. Hey, but there you go, Big T laying the smackdown coming at Cubs fans. How about it, Cubs fans? If you want to clap back. The phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. We'll take our final quick timeout. Back with more after this.
Welcome back to the Guaranteed Foods postgame show. Start eating right at GuaranteedFoods.com. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Marte hits it high in the air, deep left field, headed for the bullpen. Home run is a Royal at Kauffman Stadium. It's a two-run shot into the Cubs bullpen in left, and the Royals are on the board this afternoon. It's now 4-2 in the bottom of the fourth inning.
I had no idea. That was his first home run at Kauffman Stadium as a Royal. Congratulations, Starling. Oh, man, I wish I would have made a much bigger deal of that. Joking, of course. That's as close as the game would get. Marte's two-out, two-run home run in the fourth inning made it 4-2 Cubbies. They would go on to win and take the rubber game, take the series. Their eighth straight road series victory. Cubs beat the Royals 10-2, the final score. Starling Marte's home run, though, that means another $50 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation. As this year, we've partnered with KCUC, and they're donating $50 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for every homer the boys hit this year. 1 in 8 men will face prostate cancer, and early detection saves lives. At KCUC, Kansas City's largest, most experienced, and most advanced urology team, you see the best in KC. Schedule today at kcuc.com. Well, right now, I see on the text line a bunch of people trying to attack Big T and Shawnee. Holy cow, Cubs fans are listening and are unhappy with Big T, and I don't think he cares all that much. Text from the 913, Vern, to your previous caller. Most teams use a different catcher for a day game following a night game, especially when it's 100 degrees outside. I agree. 913-586-7965. See, and now the text line's just getting crazy. Talking trash on PCA. Stop it. Stop. You saw what happened in St. Louis when they started to chant overrated, and then he just won the game. PCA's fun. He's a fun ball player. You're not going to face the Cubs again. We don't need to pretend like you hate them. Unless you're a Cardinals fan. I know Big T isn't. But some of you on the text line, I think you're just seeing an opportunity to crush the Cubs and you're pouncing. But they're... I know you guys don't like Bregman. What was Bregman supposed to do with the Astros? Wasn't he a rookie? He's supposed to stand up and go, hey, Carlos Beltran, Jose Altuve, George Springer, everybody shut up. I'm not doing it. Come on. Give Bregman a break. Let's go to Josiah in Joplin. Josiah, you're on the Guaranteed Foods postgame show. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Vern. Sitting home after a hot, disappointing day at K. I want to say, though, I really liked what Big Dan and G had to say. I couldn't agree more with the way the Cubs fans were acting. I could not believe Kansas City allowed that to happen. That was a Chicago home game. And also the McGee, that was hard to watch. Give up 6 runs over 2 innings. You know, I would like to see him out, you know, try to make a game of it. But that's all I got, Vern. Appreciate you.
Yeah, you might see him out of a job soon. But that's most of these guys on this pitching staff. That's what these final 43 games are about. Are you or are you not a big leaguer? And I see Carl from Topeka's on the text line curious, as we get rid of Matt Strom, why do we keep bringing in more bad bullpen arms? Carl, I understand, but it's... Every team is looking for good bullpen arms. I mean, the reason why the Royals are 21 games below 500 is pitching. I mean, we could go back real quick to early April. I see someone here from the 913. Vern, wasn't the bullpen supposed to be the strength of this year's team? Maybe to you, not to me. If you were listening to this show in the first week of the season, I said the bullpen's the biggest concern. Then you guys would cuss me out and say, no, Vern, it's the offense. They didn't go get a bat. They should have gone and gotten a bat. Even though Cags and Carter and Collins have all basically done their jobs this season. Izzy and Lane Thomas basically did their job this season. The guys that didn't do their jobs offensively are Michael and Vinny and Salvi, the guys that we all were excited to watch this season. So, no, the biggest concern was always the bullpen, dating back to spring training. Once it was clear, hey, Carlos Estevez does not have it, That was about midway through spring training. So we're talking late February. I was sending out the distress signals from Surprise, letting everyone know that the bullpen was an issue. Fesco and Dusty were talking about it. We were all talking about it. So, yeah, it'd be great if the bullpen was better, but that's now the job of the front office. Moving forward, down the stretch, you got to hit on a few of these waiver wire claims. And they've done it before. Remember Scott Barlow? You got Scott Barlow as the Dodgers just ran out of room for him. Not only do you need to win your waiver claims, you need to win your trades, right? The Lucas Braun, the right-hander that you acquired from Atlanta in the Lane Thomas deal, you need that kid to work. And, of course, free agency. Again, a reminder, my exclusive one-on-one interview with Royals owner and CEO John Sherman airs tomorrow morning at 7:20 on Fesco and Dusty. And he'll touch on all of it, how they plan on rebuilding this bullpen and how they plan on putting forth a rotation that will allow you and I to believe in this team in 2027. Again, that is coming up tomorrow, 7:20 on Fesco and Dusty right here on 96.5 The Fan. Royals lose 10-2, their 70th loss of the season. Loss number 70 on August 9th. Only 8 teams in Royals history have reached 70 losses earlier on the calendar than this year's bunch. The loss goes to Randy Dobnak, his first as a Royal. He's 2-1. He went 5 innings, gave up 4 runs on 10 hits, issued 1 walk, and struck out 4. Of those 10 hits, there was only 1 extra base hit, and that was a double in the first inning that should have been an out. A ball that should have been caught by either Starling Marte or Kyle Isbell. So really, Randy Dobnak gave up 9 singles and takes the loss. Let's hear what he had to say after the game to Royals TV.
Describe this outing for you today.
I thought from a pitching standpoint, it was one of my better outings. Some bad luck with some of those, you know, weak hits. I was able to get ahead of a lot of the guys. I think I gave probably too many two-strike hits that I would like to. But overall, I thought it was a decent outing. I mean, results aside.
The stuff that makes you think that it was not your good. Is it when you say one of your better outings, just in terms of, like, stuff you were throwing, and then, like you were saying, just spells that kind of got through?
Yeah, I think, I mean, like I said, I was able to get ahead of a lot of the guys. Some of the hits, you know, were just soft contact, which is going to happen. And, you know, being a contact pitcher like myself, you're going to run into, you know, stretches where balls in play are going to find grass or find the infield grass, I guess. But that's just part of it. I can kind of control what's going on before the ball's out of my hand. And once that's out of my hand, it's out of my control.
Why was Bush in particular such a tough out today? What did you see from those at-bats against him?
Yeah, he seemed like he was just kind of locked in all game today. I tried to throw, I think I threw him at least one of every pitch I got. And I don't know, I thought I located the pitches well. The one was a 2-0 changeup, which is, I mean, it was still kind of bottom of the zone, and I don't really throw changeups behind too much, so I don't know what happened there. Another one I threw was a slider, which I only threw a few of those today. He kind of just hooked it. Yeah, I mean, he was.
That's Randy Dobnak, audio courtesy of Royals TV, and I have a hard time arguing with what he had to say. I'm going through all my game notes here, and I see one poorly executed pitch that hurt him. Again, I know he gave up 10 hits, 9 singles, and a double that should have been caught. But the only pitch that was un-Randy Dobnak-like, meaning it was up in the zone, I mean, most of these singles that he gave up were on the ground. They were down in the zone, at the bottom of the zone or out of the zone in Chicago, who, again, is a really good team. Record-wise, run differential-wise, one of the 5 best in baseball. Put some good swings on it. Now, the only pitch I thought he left up in the zone or in a place he didn't want to leave it was Michael Conforto in the third inning. His two-out RBI single to make it 3-0. Excuse me, his two-out RBI single to make it 2-0. Yeah, Dobnak is not the reason why the Royals were defeated. You know, the bullpen, that first inning defense, and Cubs starting pitcher Matthew Boyd has been a consistent, quality starting pitcher when healthy for darn near a decade now. Boyd today, 7 innings of two-run baseball. Royals wrap up this homestand with a 3-3 record. Let's go to DJ Mike up in the Northland. Mike, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Vern, good afternoon. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with a Chicago dog. I mean, come on. I love going to Chicago and getting that. My son and I, you know, we went up there and saw the White Sox and the Royals game last year at Wrigley Field, and it was fine. And I'm Big T. I'll just say this. You know how you silence opposing fans at Kauffman Stadium? You win the game. And then they can't run their mouth. Okay, that's how that works. Mm-hmm. But listen, something I wanted to say to you when Austin and I stopped by the booth last time and we didn't get a chance to. I know every team has injuries. It happens every year. And the injury bug hit us really hard this year. Is there something that they can do during spring training, off season, or is this just a fluke year and it was just the Royals year to get hit by the bug? I mean, I know they all played in the World Baseball Classic. I mean, that's extra at bats. I know Michael likes to play in the Venezuelan League in the wintertime and have extra wear and tear on his body. Is there something in the contract and the bargaining agreement that say, hey, this is your full-time job? The Royals are your full-time job. You can't go have all these extra bats and things during the winter, and then we have injuries in spring training and during the season.
Well, you could put it in the contract, especially when you sign a guy like Michael or Salvi. But the World Baseball Classic, as you know, is in partnership with Major League Baseball, so the sport or the league wants these guys to participate, even if the Royals, you know, may have preferred if Carlos Estevez stayed back rather than joining his team. But it's up to the players unless you have it in writing. And no, most guys don't have it in writing. And as far as the injuries this season, you know, you have to take them on a case-by-case basis. I mean, Cole Reagan showed up this offseason, showed up this year in spring training with one focus, and that was staying healthy. He completely redid his offseason with the sole focus of being able to take the ball 30 times, and obviously that didn't work out. You know, the Vinny injury, that's fluky, that broken hamate bone. Michael didn't play winter ball this year as he was preparing, I believe, as he was preparing for the World Baseball Classic. I think his injury is pretty fluky. Yeah, and then elbow injuries, Mike, as you know, man, those are always tough to predict. It seems as if 70-80% of pitchers are ultimately going to have some sort of surgery on that elbow.
Yeah, and I know, you know, injuries like to Izzy and Bobby back issues, you know, we expect to have that right during the season, obviously playing 162 games a year. I just wish we had a little more depth, and I guess that's what good teams do, is if their star players don't get hurt, they've got quality depth, or, you know, a $500 million payroll like the team we're going to be playing the next three nights.
Okay.
Always good to talk to you, brother. Have a good weekend, and let's go beat them champs the next three days.
Yeah, hope I get to hear from you late night coming up this week in Los Angeles. And, of course, I know I'll see you out here at Kauffman Stadium real soon. You know, one note that I made during the game, Royals were down 10-2, bottom of the ninth inning, and the Cubs go to their bullpen and they bring in Javier Assad. And I turned to Annie Rogers of MLB.com and said, I'm pretty sure if Javier Assad came over to the Royals dugout, he would immediately become a starter. Like, he would be one of their five best starting pitchers. And yet he's pitching the ninth inning for the Cubs with an 8-run lead. Just another example of how, man, this season, these are two completely different franchises. I mean, the Cubs, following today's win, have a run differential of +107. Royals, following today's loss, have a run differential of -110. Let's go to Josh in Joplin. Josh, you're on the Guaranteed Foods postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Hey, buddy. I just want to agree with old Big Dan T you had to say. I was out there, section 124, sun's out, guns out, against a hostile Cubs crowd. I just want to say, man, I hate seeing Bobby and Jack's talents go to waste day in and day out because of a bullpen. I think JJ, Q, get rid of all of them after the season, you know. That's really all I got to say, Vern. Appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, appreciate you, Josh. Thanks for the phone call. I don't know if, Josh, it was you, but they showed someone on the Jumbotron here that also had suns out, guns out. Dude looked like he was older than me, and I'm in my 40s. Dude looked like he played D-line for the Chiefs. Still, I don't know if Josh, maybe that was you, but if so, man, you are yoked up, man. I would only wear a cutoff shirt like that dude was wearing at Kauffman Stadium. It was a nice crowd today. More than 24,000. After last night, more than 32,000, more than 26 in the opener on Friday. Royals, though, drop 2 of 3 and see their record fall to 49-70. But don't worry, Noah Cameron's on the mound tomorrow night. Noah, ever since taking control of his career by calling his own pitches, he's been one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. And now tomorrow night, he'll take on a guy that many consider the best pitcher in baseball, Tarek Skubal. Quite the matchup. You're going to have to stay up late if you want to drink it in. Skubal's home debut in Dodger Blue. It's a 9:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 8 p.m. I'll also be on the air tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. with Fesco and Dusty. It's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long week. We're talking baseball. We're talking Royals baseball. What else would you... Well, there's nothing else I would rather do. I know probably for you there is. Whatever. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Guaranteed Foods postgame show with Josh Fournier.